Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Support for this podcast is provided by Subtruck Law. Revolution Recap thanks Subtruck Law for their support of our show, local independent media, and their mission of bringing unbiased truth. Revolution Recap would also like to thank 6 Point Builders for their support. 6 Point Builders are builders of fine custom homes in the Boston metropolitan area.
Another episode of Revolution Recap, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host today, Andy Judd of Revolution Nation. Today we have an interview with Seth Macomber of The Blazing Musket and Lori Lindsay as part of Apple TV's MLS coverage. We're also trying something new this time. At the end of this episode, we're going to have a preview for this weekend's game between the New England Revolution and New York City FC that was recorded previously. Before we get into all that, I wanted to mention our sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. With that, I'm going to send it over to Seth with his interview with Lori Lindsay.
All right, it's Seth Macomber from The Blazing Musket. Happy to be joined once again by an MLS season pass personality. This time it's Lori Lindsay catching up once again. We talked last season. It's a new season for the New England Revolution. Lori, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having me on. Always good to be chatting with you, Seth. And wild start to the season all around, right? So exciting to be chatting MLS.
Yeah, wild season for the entire league, wild season for the New England Revolution, maybe a disappointing season for the New England Revolution, kind of up and down. They're out of the Champions League Cup now, and now they're going into league play and focusing on that a little bit more. Lori, what has stood out so far about the New England Revolution in 2024 for you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, right, it wouldn't be a surprise to the majority of the fan base, is just how difficult it is times to juggle two competitions, right? League play, Champions Cup. Obviously, we've heard Caleb Porter speak about them putting a lot of emphasis on Champions Cup, given that it is a knockout stage, right? It's almost like you have to, and compared to a 36 game, 34 game, 36. Oh my goodness. You and I were talking before, and it's like, where am I? And now I don't even know how many games are in the season. But a long season in Major League Soccer. So I think, one, that can be really difficult. We've seen that with the unfortunate results in Major League Soccer play. But now with them being knocked out last night down in Mexico City against Club America, then now can they turn and put all their focus towards league play and see if they can kind of crawl themselves out of a bit of the hole that they're in, obviously, right? So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have gotten a tie against Chicago, and they recently got their first league win. If you're trying to be an optimist about this New England Revolution side, what would you say? What is something that is promising about this side?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. I think one, you're returning a huge group that you saw last year that was successful, right? Until the end when it got a little bit chaotic. However, you still have quite a few pieces, a lot of players that know one another. And then also now you're done with Champions Cup. As much as that might be a disappointment, you can now solely focus. And I think those two things now, hopefully, to your point, right? They got the tie against Chicago, win against Charlotte last weekend. 4 points now in the last couple of league play games. So now can you build on that momentum and have sole focus on league play? And really good opportunity away from home against NYCFC this weekend. So you got to turn the page quickly though, because it is difficult to travel and then go and play away from home, obviously in league play. So yeah, I think there's still a lot to be optimistic about. And I also think that I think some of us have seen the stats. It's not easy to crawl out of bottom place, right, in the league and the Eastern Conference and turn things around. So hopefully they can. And with a lot of pieces knowing one another and you have a Carlos Heel on your team, then hopefully you can, right?
Yeah, it helps a little bit to have Carlos Heel on your
Yeah,
team. Lori,
exactly.
obviously, before you became a commentator, a really storied career, a really successful career. So you've experienced some of these things before. We look at the Champions Cup and you see two pretty bad results against a very, very good Club America team. As an athlete, do you take anything from those performances, 9-2 on aggregate, or is it something that you just immediately forget about and you move on and you just never speak of that again?
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I always say as a professional athlete, you have to have short-term memory, right? Because whether you're starting, whether you're playing, whether you're in great form or not, it is all about so quickly turning the page in a lot of things, right? I do think that you have to, in the midst of a season, though, you learn from your wins and you learn from your defeats. And I would imagine this team is like, okay, we need to quickly move on from these defeats, but also what can we take from them, right? And one maybe is like just what we said, which is now you can solely focus on league play. But then two, just being like, all right, we still have a lot of work to do. We have a brand new coach who's trying to implement some new tactics. So now we're going to get a bit more time to be able to put that into practice at training week in and week out instead of it just being games, right? Where you haven't really been able to implement and work on the things that maybe you feel like you need to. So I think it's a couple of things. You don't want to gloss over that, hey, listen, this is the reality that we just lost by huge aggregate in both of these games, right? But at the same time, listen, we are starting to build up some momentum last couple of games in this league play. So can we have a bit of a short-term memory in that regard and now get back down to business and the next game needs to be some sort of result, right? At least a point on the road for this New England team. I feel like that's the biggest lesson is like, okay, now we don't have time to lose any more games. We don't have time to drop points. What's our reaction? How are we bouncing back to this? How are we staying together as a collective unit and moving on? So I think those are the lessons learned because short-term memory is going to have to come into play quickly with Champions Cup, I think, for New England.
Laura, I'm curious. You mentioned it right there. Caleb Porter is coming in. He's won two MLS Cups with two different teams, comes with a winning pedigree, has also missed the playoffs in the past, right? That's kind of an issue with Caleb Porter. But I talked to Jonathan Mensah after the last home game, and he talked about how he has a long history with Caleb Porter, understands that he's a winner, but it always takes time for a new coach to come in and steal his vision. And Jonathan Mensah mentioned that he thinks that the team is starting to understand the vision a little bit more and implement some of that vision a little bit more. Again, going back to your time as a player, have you seen that? Have you seen times when a new coach comes in and it has that turbulent moment where you guys are trying to figure things out and it takes a little bit of time to kind of get the momentum going?
Oh, absolutely. I think anytime that you're trying to instill a different vision than what that collective group is, and I had mentioned, this is a core group that's returning, right? That are familiar with one another, but they're also familiar with how things have been done in the past. So anytime you're trying to make tweaks, tactical adjustments that pushes the team, pushes individuals, absolutely takes time. And it also takes time, especially when you're not when you're not training, right? I remember I was on that Chicago game when they got the tie against them at home, their first point of the season. And that was, I think it was the first point of the season. Is that
yes.
correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things that Caleb Porter said before that game was that was like the first four days that they had actually trained together and were able to implement in training some of the tactics that he wanted, like building out of the back more comfortably, right? Securing the ball. Yes, we still want to be able to play direct, but also can we be more comfortable in possession against teams that are going to press us? So, listen, I think that paints that picture right there, right? You've gone from game to game to game if you're the New England Revolution with very minimal time to train. And so that's just going to prolong the inevitable of, hey, it's going to take time to work things out and really understand what Caleb's looking for, but then also what does that best 11 look like? Because that best 11 under him might look different than it did in the previous couple of years, right? So I think those are the things you have to keep in mind, but at the same time, things can turn quickly. And so you hope that things start to like build momentum even more so for this New England team. Because when you look at it, it's quite a deep team that actually should be collecting more points, in my opinion, than they currently are.
Yeah, I think what's things interesting is that, you know, Caleb Porter has talked about the long-term vision, but he recently kind of talked about the idea that maybe the short-term vision is a little bit different. And I thought we saw a little bit of that against Charlotte, where the team was going a little bit more direct. Early in the game, you saw those giveaways, first by Ravas and also by Ian Harkes, where they give the ball away in the back. And that's kind of been a problem that we've seen for this New England Revolution yeah. side. But then it kind of became a little bit more direct. They were playing a little bit more forward. To your point, not just lobbing the ball, you know, forward, you know, youth soccer style, you know, kick it long. Yeah. But there was a little bit more verticality to the way they play. I'm curious, like, what is it? You know, is that an evolution? Like, hey, we need to start getting points. This is what needs to happen. Is it just a tactical setup because they're playing against a team with a high line? I'm curious, when you're a coach like Caleb Porter and you need to start getting points, when do you sacrifice your vision in order to get those short-term points while still trying to do that in practice? How do you kind of balance those things?
Yeah, well, I think you make a good point there, because I think that, you know, adjusting tactically is not just about the players, right? It's about the coach coming in and understanding what he has available. And his vision might be ideal for him and how he wants to play, but do you have those players that are, one, capable of playing that way? Yes, I mean, these are professional players, but like, is that the ideal profile of the players that are available to you to be able to play that way? So I think in some regards, it's not just the players, it's the coach saying, okay, this is how I want to play, but is that going to work with the current group that I have? And that's the evolution of a coach as well, to understand, okay, like, yes, maybe, but maybe not immediately. And we're in a position where we need to collect points immediately to, one, not only get ourselves in a better place in the Eastern Conference, but also to essentially save the mental capacity of your team. Because if you just keep dropping points, then at some point in time, it is really tough mentally for the length of the season. Yes, you have time, but to think like, yo, you have another 9 months that you need to like keep this locker room fresh and excited about what you're doing, you have to get results to be able to do that. So I think it's twofold, right? Players and coaches mixing together. A lot of times we're like, oh, well, the players need to adapt. Well, the coach has to as well, depending on what you have available. I also think this team is suited to play direct in some ways. Get the ball into Carlos Heel, right? Get him, that should be the first look, in my opinion. This is one of the best, if not the best, number 10s in the league. Get him the ball. He has zero assists on this season. To me, that says something. That means, okay, yes, you want to play out of the back, but you are not finding him enough where he can work what he does so well, which is find passes that a lot of players can't in this league. And then also allow Vrioni to get in behind, right? Allow him to hold up the ball if possible. Woods back, right? So, or at least he played last night. So getting him into the mix as well. Chonkalai, you have all of these players that can get in behind or at least thrive when the ball is higher up the field, and then you can press from there, right? And get players. And not to mention your outside backs are set up to go forward. I mean, that is the profile of the outside backs for the New England Revolution. So utilize that, right? Doesn't mean it has to be every time. And I think that is, to the credit of Caleb Porter, I think he's trying to add in some versatility and variety into the way that they play, and totally respect that. But at times, if it's not on, it's about reading the opponent and what you have available, go direct, right? So in the short field, last thing I'll say, Seth, is that it's a small field in NYCFC, right? There's not going to, that team is going to want to press. They're going to try to turn the ball over higher up the field. There's not going to be a lot of time to try to play pretty and try to play out every once in a while. But I would say, look in behind, put them under pressure as well, get Carlos Hill the ball and let those players operate higher up the field.
I think you make a really good point about a lot of things in there, but I'm really thinking about the idea of how this roster is constructed. And if you look at it, a lot of the players are returning from last year when before everything kind of went down, they're second in the East, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with Bruce Arena, it was a very much a throw caution to the wind. Let's go forward. Let's, you know, put numbers up there. And sometimes it was to the detriment, right? Like sometimes the center backs were going 1v1, and that's not really a comfortable position for center backs. So someone like Caleb Porter, who in Columbus was really known for his defensive stability, he's trying to bring that to the New England Revolution. But when you're giving the balls away in the back or when you're not finding those transitional moments, it's not playing to those players' strengths. So I think you're right that they have to make sure that you're kind of doing both, that the coach has a vision that could be really helpful, but the players that he has, maybe it doesn't totally fit in right now. So you have to compromise some of those things. I'm curious from your playing perspective, you mentioned the locker room there and this idea of you have to make sure the locker room is good and healthy and you have to get wins to kind of get to that point. I'm curious, when you were during your playing career, were the things that you did individually or a coach would do to try to keep the spirits high during those low times?
Yeah, I think it's just making sure that the lines of communication are open, right? And that everyone is on the same page. I think that's the most difficult because you can work your, I go back to saying about the short-term memory, right? Like you can turn tides quickly. And especially with how long this, the league is. But I also think you have to be on the same page. You have to understand that, like, okay, this is the collective goal, right? We are a team that, to your point, was in the second in the East for a lot of the season last year. And like the home record was outstanding, right? Until things kind of started to go haywire. However, this is a team that has had success. So remembering that one, and then just also making sure that, again, that the lines of communication are open, that everybody's on the same page, turning the page to say, hey, listen, we have NYCFC next. Let's start to build more momentum, 4 points in the last two league games, and let's get some sort of another result. And then we can work our way in. But as long as that same vision is held and those lines of communication, I think, you know, as a player, that's what I would try to do. Make sure the communication was spot on between the players, but then also the coach and what that understanding was too, and what that vision was, and just making sure that that is super clear. Because all of these players are professional players, right? We know that. So they know they need to get the job done, but it's about doing it. It's really about doing it together now and then, like, building off of that.
Lori, big news coming out of The Athletic today. Paul Tenorio talking about how there could be changes to the MLS rules, some flexibility for people. For the New England Revolution, there's two to kind of look at. One is this idea of a buyout. They obviously used one buyout on Thomas Vasilik, never played a game for the New England Revolution. They now have an opportunity to do another buyout. Do you think that the Revolution potentially should use that buyout during this season if that rule does come into fruition? And if so, who might they buy out?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. You know, I think that's a difficult one because it depends on, ultimately, again, going back to this entire conversation, is what are you looking for, right? I do think that they do need a striker, right? Another goal scorer that's going to play off Carlos Hill, play off Vrioni. Does that allow for you to change the formation some, right? You know, or even allow for Vrioni to come off the bench more, however that looks, right? So I can't really speak to a buyout and who they use, but, you know, I think that this is a deep team and potentially looking to see if they can add a few more lethal pieces. But to me, that's a glaring one. Somehow within all of this in the summer window, getting a proven goal scorer that you've scouted, that you know, that you feel like will fit the profile of the team, but also what the league is all about, right? Because it's physical, it's transitional. It is, you know, not for the faint of heart, I should say, when it comes to goal scorers and attackers. So that to me feels like is the, has to be the piece that is looked at the most coming this summer.
Yeah, and the other part of that could possibly fit in there is that you have the opportunity to maybe add two more U22s. Yeah. There's talk about if you have three DPs, you'd be able to have three U22s. The Revolution obviously have three DPs. There was talk earlier that they might bring in like an outside midfielder. Maybe yeah. those interests have changed. So you're talking about striker. I agree with you. You probably need some depth there. You have Veroni. You have Bobby Wood, who's having chronic knee problems. That's probably one area you're going to target. What's another area that the New England Revolution might target if they are going to bring in a couple of players during the summer transfer window?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at just like the rotations that we've seen with Caleb Porter. I might have originally said, you know, somebody that's a bit more of a two-way midfielder, but he's used quite a bit, like Harkes, Kay, right? He's used Polster. You have Buck. So it just depends. I don't know if that's an area, but where are we at right now in terms of Barrero and Brandon Bai? So depending on those two, I mean, like we can't forget like how deep this team and how successful they were last season. But I mean, those are two huge players that you lost that could fill a void as well. But it doesn't sound like they're going to be back in the immediate future. So I would say, yes, another creative, you have Bayraktarevic, right? Who's been excellent, but can you add another piece in that position, maybe another outside back, depending, because if Bai's not going to be back and, you know, somebody that's going to be even more lethal, they obviously brought in Lima this year, but maybe someone that's going to be even more attack-minded, that'll be comfortable playing out of the back and also to the point that we were making earlier, which is get forward. So I would say maybe an outside back or another kind of creative winger that's not afraid to be able to come inside and create from the inside areas. And that gives a little bit more flexibility to where Carlos Heel can roam and find the game a bit more.
Yeah, I think you're right when it comes to fitting the game model profile and the idea of being able to play out the back, whether it's a defender or even like a central midfielder, like you mentioned. I made a video last night talking about Ian Harkes. I think Ian Harkes has been really good. He's really good at winning second balls. And in Polster, you know, he's kind of the pit bull that's there. But you're kind of missing a Darlington Nagbe type player. And those guys don't exist everywhere. But if you look at Caleb Porter, everywhere he's gone, he's had Darlington Nagbe. And that's a guy who passes at a clip of 95% and can carry the ball forward.
Yeah.
Who's doing that right now for the New England Revolution? If you want to play out that, you know, play out the back type system, I think guys can do it, but maybe not as consistently as someone like Darlington Nagbe. So maybe that's an area that they can possibly bring someone in.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you look at the profiles of Ian Harkes and Buck and Polster to some degree as well, but those are all players that can play simply, right? That can play and connect the passes. I think the worry there would be, or worry might not be the correct word, but I think if you're looking at Caleb Porter, do you have too many similar players on the field, right? So, and that's why I was saying like a two-way midfielder, to your point, that maybe can disrupt a bit, but then also is not afraid to get in because we know that Polster will hold sometimes, right? Or depending on who the partnership is. So yeah, just a slightly different, because at some point in time, then do you run the risk of there's too many similar players? And depending on what that looks like in terms of building out, or if you're going to take more risks going forward, what's that coverage behind the ball look like? So this is why I love this conversation though, in terms of how to roster build, what's the right age that you want to bring in as well to fit that mold, because those puzzle pieces are so important to one, fit the mold of what you're looking for as a coach to your team, but then also making sure you have enough diversity within that, it's not the same, profile across the board really, or too many of the same. So yeah, it'll be interesting and a lot of questions, right? I don't think we could answer until starting to about this point in time, because to me, it's also still unclear exactly what Caleb Porter is looking for, right? Because again, we haven't had time to make those little tweaks. And so hopefully in the next, you know, few weeks that will start to be even more clear from his team, given that they can have sole focus on the league play.
Absolutely. And this weekend's a big one, right?
Yep.
It's an opportunity, like you mentioned, to get some sort of points. It's on a tiny field, like you mentioned. When you're thinking about this game between the New England Revolution and New York City FC, what are you looking at? What are some of the battles? What are some of the players? What are things that you're anticipating for this weekend's game in New York?
Yeah, I mean, both these teams need points. It's not a secret, right? New York City, NYCFC has had similar struggles, right? And typically you would think that they would make this home field like their place, and that hasn't quite panned out, right? They've had some mixed results at home as well. But we know this team is going to want to high press. They're going to try to put New England under pressure. I do think the midfield battle is going to be interesting because there's not going to be a ton of space. But if you can get a hold of the game that way, both of these teams want to try to possess. They want to get numbers forward. They want to be able to utilize. So I think Carlos Heel has to be involved in this game, right? That I think in a lot of ways it has to get back to, even if it seems so predictable, get it, that has to be the first look of the team. Find him the ball, right? Because he does things that other players don't do, and there's magic in those boots, so to speak. So getting him the ball. But then I think on the flip side, you're going to see the same thing with Santi Rodriguez for NYCFC, getting him on the ball, allowing him to try to play, make, find space, right? So midfield battle to me is going to be an interesting one. Who can get a hold of the game and finish their chances, really, is what it comes down to.
All right, before I let you go, I try to get a good story out of you. Obviously, they're going to play at Yankee Stadium. There's been a lot of criticism about that area, that grass that they play on, whatever you want to call it. Obviously, the New England Revolution play on turf. There's been criticism there. I'm sure you've played in your share of maybe not the greatest fields out there. Is there any good stories that you have about fields you played on that you're like, man, I don't know if we should have played on a field quite like that during your playing career?
Oh, goodness. I'm sure. I mean, listen, I played with the Philadelphia Independents in our previous league in the WPS, and we played on a turf field at Westchester University that I'm not so sure should have been playable all the time. So, yes, I mean, I played women's professional soccer. There's so many stories, I'm sure. From waterlogged fields to, just like, I don't know if I have one in particular one, though. But yeah, I mean, listen, I've called games at Yankee Stadium. I've called them at Citi Field, and it is not easy. So I think the first and foremost for the opposition is to come in and just realize that, like, this is maybe not always going to be a pretty game. So finding moments that you're just going to also win that battle of, like, might not be the prettiest, but here we go. We're going to gut this out. And I feel like, to answer your question fully, when you knew you weren't always playing on like the prettiest fields, it was setting like the ideal aspect of the game and how you wanted it to go, and just be like, you know what, some of these games aren't going to be like that. Let's make sure that we're like pulling up our socks and ready to go for the battle in general to get some sort of result. And I think it's a perfect time for the Revolution to kind of have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Lori, I appreciate the time. I got to tell you that I love seeing you everywhere. I've been following, you know, the NWSL coverage. Friday nights, it's a tradition now to throw on the game, listen to you on the call. Anyone who's not a part of that, it's on Amazon Prime Friday nights. You have the Spirit versus the Dash this week?
Yeah. The Washington Spirit traveling to Houston. Yep.
Yeah, so you are absolutely everywhere. You'll be on the call on Saturday. Appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much, Lori.
Yeah, thank you, Seth. Always a pleasure, and hopefully I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hello, everybody. It's Andy dropping into the podcast to give you a preview of this weekend's matchup between the New England Revolution and New York City FC. We're going to be doing these previews on the midweek podcasts on a trial basis at least in the short term. If you guys are interested in hearing content like this, or if you're interested in hearing previews, or if you think that this was a particularly good preview, please feel free to leave a comment either on Twitter or leave a comment or a review or a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and let us know that this is something that you like, and we'll keep doing it as long as we have interest from you guys. Let's get into the preview. The game will be this Saturday, April 13th. It's a 7:30 p.m. kickoff time. It's taking place at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. So it's an away game for the Revs. It will be viewable, of course, at all the usual places. MLS Season Pass on Apple TV being the only official provider. New York City has had a tough start to their season, same way the Revs have. New York City started their season with 3 consecutive losses. They have just 1 win in 7 tries against Toronto FC. They won 2-1, and they have 2 draws to round out their schedule, most recently against Miami, a 1-1 draw on the road, and a 1-1 draw at home against Atlanta just last week. The Revs, for their part, have had an equally terrible start to their season. They picked up just 1 win, and it came last week against Charlotte FC, 1-0. But otherwise, it's 4 losses and 1 draw. If you are a fan of this podcast, you've been paying attention to the Revs, certainly you will be familiar with their struggles. Let's talk a little bit about the field, because I think that's an important thing to mention when you're playing on the road against New York City FC. It's that they play at Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium is a baseball, turns out, a baseball field. And they have to put the soccer field into the baseball field somehow. And they do that by stuffing it into the outfield and then covering up a tiny bit of the infield with fake grass or quick grass, and just trying to make everything blend and mesh together by watering everything down, making for a very slippery pitch, and generally tough to watch conditions. In addition to that, it's also a very small field. If you tell any New York City FC fan this, they will get mad at you, because they have heard it every home game they have ever had since they became an MLS team. But it's absolutely going to be a factor in this game, and it's a factor in general for games played at Yankee Stadium. The reason it is probably going to be a factor in this game in particular comes down to the play style of these two teams. New York City FC, if you check the stats over at the Opta Analyst, and I highly recommend you check that site out if you haven't seen it yet, they graph teams' play styles based upon the vertical speed of play and the number of passes per sequence. If you chart those out, you can kind of get a sense of what style a team likes to play. The Revolution, for their part, have a fairly high number of passes per sequence, per attacking sequence, but they have a relatively low speed of play. I think if you've watched the Revs this year, you are familiar with the kind of slow, sometimes plodding style that the Revs have been playing under Caleb Porter. Now, New York City FC is not like that. They're on the opposite end of the quadrant, so they generally tend to have fewer passes per sequence, and they tend to have a quicker vertical speed getting up the field. So that tells us that New York City is willing and able to move the ball quickly in the attack, in transition, and move the ball towards the opponent's goal. And that is not something that the Revs do really very often. We started to see a little bit last week in the win against Charlotte, but certainly not for large stretches of the game. The Revs tend to be a little bit slower, a little bit more methodical with their build-out. And that is going to be affected by the size of the pitch, because if you're trying to play possession style of soccer, there's just less room to do that, right? There's less room to find passes. If you want to, retain possession, back passes, there's just less space. So I think the Revs are probably going to have a bit of a struggle trying to work the ball their normal way against this New York City FC team, especially on the road on that small pitch. Let's take a quick look at some key stats. New York City FC, for a key stat for New York City FC for this preview, I have that their shots on target percentage is 30.7%. That's the eighth lowest in MLS, and they've only scored 5 goals in 7 games so far this year. So scoring has been a problem for New York City FC. It's been a problem for the Revs as well, but the Revs have scored technically more goals than New York City FC. 5 goals in 7 games is not great from New York, and it's also the second fewest goals scored in MLS at the moment. New England, on the other hand, for their stat, I have selected that they have been dispossessed 68 times this season. That's the fourth most in MLS. If you take that on a per 90 basis, they are dispossessed 11.3 times per game. That's the second worst mark in MLS. So they're getting the ball taken away from them at the second highest rate of any team in MLS. To me, that is going to be exacerbated by the small field this week. Spaces are going to be tighter. Things are going to be, harder to make that possession style passing structure work, and the Revs may find themselves in a situation where they are more likely to lose possession than they even are normally, which is something that they are typically not great at doing. The way I could see that playing out is New York City's style is push up and go quickly, fewer passes, faster speed. I would expect New York City will try to press New England and dispossess them and move the ball upfield as quickly as they can. That could be tricky for the Revs, and I would imagine fairly dangerous for them to take care of. Key players. New York City FC, for a key player for this weekend, I have selected their striker, Munsef Bakrar. He is similar to New England's situation. They had a very good starting striker in their 2021 season. That was when they won MLS Cup. The Revs, for their part, won the Supporter Shield that season. And then they sold their striker, Tati Castellanos, abroad and brought in a replacement, Munsef Bakrar, who has not quite lived up to expectations. He has 2.4 goals fewer than expected. He's actually scored 0 goals so far in MLS play, but he has been expected to have scored 2.4. That's the second highest difference between their expected output and their actual output of any player in MLS this season. And as a bonus stat, the fourth worst mark is Tomas Chankalai, who was expected to have scored 2 goals so far this season and has also scored 0. For the Revs, a key player, I'm going to say Henry Kessler. I'm expecting him to start in this one alongside Dave Romney. I expect he will also be important. The way I can see this game playing out with a smaller pitch and with ball the tighter configuration on the field, if the Revs are to lose possession, which is something we've discussed, they're maybe a little bit more likely to do. And New York City wants to play fast. They're likely to play the ball in behind. They're likely to play through balls to try and find ways to get Bakrar involved in the game. And I think that's going to be tough for Kessler and for Romney to deal with. So if the Revs are going to have any success this week, they're going to need to have a pretty good game from both of those players, but especially Kessler, who I think will probably be, who has less history of being in the right place at the right time. In terms of a prediction for this one, I'm going to say the Revs lose this one, unfortunately. I think this feels like a 2-0 road loss to me, with goals coming kind of on counterattacks and maybe a penalty for the other one. I just don't see, with the way the Revs' form has been, with it being on the road, and with seemingly New York's strengths kind of lining up in a way that are going to make things difficult for New England, I just can't see a win happening here. All right, that wraps up this week's preview. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Revolution Recap. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and be sure to check out our friends at The Blazing Musket. Thanks again for listening to Revolution Recap, presented by Bet Online, and we'll be back after the game this weekend against New York City FC with another podcast.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.